I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled Madison Plains Board of Education meeting. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Cooper?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We're going to be led by Abby and Lorna.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we'll turn to Section B, Public Communication. See anyone signed up? Now we'll move to Section C, Board Work Session. So I can start us out. One thing that we discussed last year during the budget reduction plan was we would revisit some of the items of the plan, but one specifically we talked about was pay to play, to kind of see how that's been implemented, how it affects different things, participation rates, and just an overall assessment of how it went the first year. So I'd appreciate if we could discuss that in the next meeting. Chad, if you could kind of have your thoughts, talk with the new interim athletic director and get his thoughts as well, and just kind of have that discussion that we said we'd have last year. We'd have it over the plan.
One thing that I mentioned to Mark, and I was glad to see that we started it this evening, is if we could have either principal ask students to lead us in the pledge at each meeting. I was at a school board meeting 2 weeks ago. It's kind of a nice little tradition that they have at their school board meetings, and I think it's something that a small way that we can get the students involved in the process, and hopefully parents here as well. So.
Anything else for board work session?
I have one thing. Would like to ask Miss Victoria Popalia to come up, if she would, please. One of the things that I think is important to do is to celebrate our staff and our students. And as I was going through our communities doing my community listening sessions, I learned that Miss Opalia had the achievement of having all of her students who took the Spanish placement tests at universities last year, or for this school year, each and every one of them passed, which is
awesome.
Pretty impressive.
Nice.
And so what that means is then that those students were then either able to move on to an advanced level of Spanish at the university, or perhaps they did not need to take Spanish at all because they had learned enough here under Ms. Opalia's leadership that they did not need to take Spanish. And so quite an accomplishment, and very, very pleased with that. And so I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do. For the great work that you've done in leading our students. And we do have a small token of our appreciation here, a certificate. And so thank you and congratulations.
While we're saying good things, hopefully we'll recognize them at a future date, and I don't have all the details. Maybe Brandon, you could chime in. I know the powerlifting team had a very impressive weekend. Can you summarize real quick what their accomplishments were, or is anybody comfortable with that?
I can tell you that both the boys and the girls won the state powerlifting meet. I know the boys total, the girls total, and I don't want to misquote it, but it was like over 4,000 pounds, and the boys were like over 11. It was a significant amount. The best that they had done prior to this was like fourth each, and so I was able to go up to Kenton and watch a little bit of that. It was impressive. It was neat. Our kids did a great job. It was buy-in by everybody and great listening to our coaches, so kudos.
We set a state record.
Did we set a state record?
Three
ladies who were champions in their weight class as well, which was Rachel Guyette, Braden Mast, who we'll actually be recognizing here soon, and Sammy Papp. So we had three state champions in their weight class, too, and our ladies.
Very nice. Awesome. Thank you.
sorry to put you on the spot. I just want to make sure we recognize that, and hopefully next month or some point in the future,
yes,
we can bring them in here and recognize
it. It's a big group. Very big group. That's good.
I think that's all for board work session. So now we'll move to section B, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make a motion that the minutes of the February 19th, 2019 regular meeting will be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Abstain.
Mrs. Enikis?
Yes.
Mr. Botts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 4-0.
Now move to section E, student recognition.
And we'd like to call to the podium high school principal, Ms. Michelle Tice, and she will be introducing our student of the month for last month for Rotary Club.
I would like to introduce to you, and I already kind of gave you a little preface, Braden Mass was our Rotary Student of the Month for last month. She's at a 3.744 GPA. She ranks 7th in her class. She is treasurer of our NHS and does a lot of volunteering at church, as well as with our Geisa Carnival. She was also a very stellar volleyball player, and so much so that she is going to be attending Capital University, and she will be playing volleyball at Capital University, so we're really excited about that, as well as a state champion on our powerlifting team. I'm not going to make you say what weight class, I don't know, but yeah, did a phenomenal job. It was awesome to see them. So Ms. Braden Mass.
Next, we'll move to Section F, Department Reports.
And sharing with us a report on our Transportation Department this evening is Transportation Coordinator, Ms. Kim Rogers.
Hi, it's nice to meet you all. Thank you for inviting me. Will you do my... The Magic School Bus. Everybody within the Transportation Department, unless you're actually down there, you do not really realize the significance of that statement. I thought I trained him better. Quick facts. There are about 60% of Ohio students ride on school buses each day. Nearly 15,000 school buses provide safe transportation in the state of Ohio. Here in Madison Plains, our drivers are transporting approximately 832 students daily. We drive a total of about 977 miles per day on 19 yellow school buses and 2 white vans. We have a total of 21 routes with 20 regular drivers. We also have 2 van certified sub drivers who are both currently in training to obtain their CDL Class B license. Van 2 is currently being driven by one of those 2 drivers, who happens to be going next Friday to take her CDL test, the driving part. Please keep your fingers crossed. We might actually make it through spring sports if she passes. Next. Additional supporting staff includes myself, your transportation supervisor. We have 2 mechanics, Phil Emmerich and Jeff Tackett. And last but certainly not least, to date we have driven an extra 17,467 miles for extracurricular activities. Madison Plains has a great group of drivers and mechanics. Our drivers are engaged with the students they transport. They know the names of the students riding their buses. Oftentimes they know the parents of the students riding their buses. Without their dedication that they show every day and the flexibility and the willingness to go the extra mile, we would never make it sometimes. In turn, our mechanics keep our buses safe to drive and make sure they are reliable and dependable. So what I've done, I've been here since the 18th of July. The 1st of August, we completed our T2 report, submitted it to the state of Ohio, to ODE for approval. I created a new student file in VersaTrans for the 2018-19 school year. Reviewed all student transportation forms, that is a stack of them like this when I walked in. We went through every one of those, made changes. That's where the alternate pickup and drop-off information comes from our parents, for our students. I went through every one of those forms, updated, added alternate pickup and drop-off information as requested. There's a comment section. I put comments in there so that I put the date the change was made. If students that we're aware of have any kind of allergies or anything, I documented in there so it's a quick, easy find for us if we have issues. We met with each driver individually for a route review. The routes were reviewed, updated, corrected, and issues were addressed. Parents were notified with their students' routing information via postcards. I got those out a little later than I wanted to. Hopefully this coming year we'll get them out a little bit faster so that we can be more proactive when it comes to making changes. School bus information was submitted to individual schools. I have a file within the VersaTrans system that I can print out every student in the district, and it will have their inbound bus and their outbound bus. And due to the number of changes that we make, it's helpful sharing that information to the secretaries, especially for the little ones, so they know what bus they're going. Oftentimes I'll have information that the school buildings do not have. Oftentimes they'll have information I don't have. And it was just a lot of communication on everyone's part to have the startup we had. We did pretty good. Our buses cleared. I'm thinking pretty much by 4:15, 4:20 that day, with the exception of the tolls bus, and my transfer bus had a little bit of issues making their transfer point, but we got that corrected pretty quickly. Personnel file audit was conducted to make sure that we're in compliance with Ohio Pupil Transportation Operation and Safety Rules. There were a few issues. I've corrected them since I've been here. I can't go back and fix things that were not done correctly or were absent, you know, before I got here, but moving forward, we are in compliance. We've successfully recruited, trained, and hired three new drivers. One already obtained her CDL and is currently driving a route. And as I said earlier, two of them are VAN certified. One is set to go take her test this next Friday, the 29th of March, and the next one is set to go take her test the 5th of April. So, districts throughout Ohio and the nation are currently struggling to recruit, train, and hire school bus drivers. We are definitely not an exception. There is no place. If you would do a web search right now and look for school bus drivers, you are going to be hard-pressed to find a district that is not looking for school bus drivers. So with that thought in mind, I think that somewhere down the road we need to maybe figure out a way to attract new drivers. We have to be competitive and offer creative solutions. I know other districts around us, they are hiring, recruiting, they're paying for training, they're doing referral bonuses. If you have an employee who sends someone in, they go through the interview process, the background processes and stuff, they get a finder's bonus, if you will. The newly hired drivers, some of the districts are paying for training. They're paying for all of the costs incurred in helping those drivers obtain their CDL. To obtain a CDL in the state of Ohio, it is not an easy feat. There are four written tests you have to take. Once you pass those written tests, you have to have a minimum of 12 hours behind the wheel, and nobody is going to just do 12 hours behind the wheel of that bus and then go take the test and pass the test. It's too hard. So we have to be forward thinking because we are competing with every district around us. I know for a fact that we have at least 3 to 4 parents who have students attending our district that are driving for other districts. I know this because every time they call me, I try to recruit them. Okay. But we just have to figure out a way to be competitive so that we can grow and address the issue, because it's not going to go away. It is a nationwide driver shortage. In closing, I would just like to take the opportunity to thank you all for allowing me to come and talk to you. If you have any comments or questions, I'll do my best to try to answer them. Just don't make them too hard. Questions? My next slide. You know, we have tried and tried and tried to tell our drivers, we've been working, we've got like 40-some days left of school, and we're keep telling them, please make sure you park your bus where it's supposed to be, so we don't have that in the last day of school. Thank you.
Kim, I would just like to say thank you for the recruiting that you have done. The fact that we have 3 new drivers this year is wonderful, and it certainly is something that we need. Yeah, it is. So thank you for your efforts there. It is appreciated.
Thank you.
I appreciate it as well. I think that's a high discussion we need to have as far as, obviously we can't do all those steps, but if we need to figure out the best way to recruit and retain good drivers or whatever. So I think it's probably something needs to be on our radar as well as game plan moving forward. I appreciate all your hard work.
Thank you.
For those who are here for student recognition, if you would like to leave, you are welcome to. You don't have to stay for the rest of the meeting. You're welcome to stay if you would like. So.
Next, we'll turn to Section G, Board Committee Reports.
And our first report is from the Finance Committee, and I believe Mr. Mason and Mr. Mustine are going to be reporting out.
So we met last Monday. It was a good meeting. We had Courtney Bricker, who's a community member there, which she's also kind of dual-headed because she works for the Village of Mount Sterling. So she has that perspective, which part of the topics we were talking about was the agreement that we have, enterprise zone agreement that we have with Mount Sterling. So that was one of the main topics. It was very useful as far as us trying to make sure we've got accurate numbers, because the higher the numbers, the more money that Madison Plains gets as part of that enterprise zone agreement with Mount Sterling. The numbers are a lot higher. Todd can speak to those, but what we kind of push for is to make sure the past year's numbers, because this last year's numbers were revised upward pretty significantly. So we push for previous years to be at least looked at to see if they need to be revised as well. So that was kind of a key point that hopefully can bring some more money to Madison Plains. We talked about the tax repayment note being finalized, and I believe that's now done, right?
Right, that's 50. On this agenda tonight to let you know about.
So. Right, so we kind of talked about the process of that, and he'll give you some more details there. And I'm trying to think, what was the other thing we discussed? The financial audit, yes, which the first time, hopefully a lot of us will say this a few times tonight, it's a major accomplishment. We're very proud of the work you've done. I don't want to get in front of you, but we had a good financial audit, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But we talked about that at the Finance Committee as well. Our next meeting is Monday, April 8th at 5 p.m., and that's open to the public. Anybody's invited to come. You got anything?
I think you got it. We had our Tax Incentive Review Committee meeting following that meeting the next day, I believe, and had further conversation about that Enterprise Zone Agreement with Village of Mount Sterling. We were able to confirm the day after that the final payroll numbers that determine the amount we received, and so the Village is committed, Courtney is committed to present, to have a check cut to the district over $100,000 on March 25th. So that will bring them current with the agreement. So make progress. So for anybody that, and we can get into that a little bit later, but that is an income tax sharing agreement is what that is. So the village collects all of that income tax for the expansion that Kahine underwent as part of that enterprise zone agreement. And then it's a 50-50 split under the agreement with the district. So the village collected all of the funds, and then we were waiting to get our disbursement of that. So they wanted to be very sure of that the numbers were right also, because it impacts their bottom line as well, because they're the ones writing the check. So we came to a mutual agreement, and we continue to have a good working relationship with the Village of Mount Sterling.
Our next committee update is on board policy, and I have that one. The board policy committee met on March 12th. We have continued our work in updating our policies, and based upon the progress that we're making, I think there is a chance that we might be caught up from all the policies from this year by the time we get to the end of the year, and then my hope is that we can start to make some headway on what we were behind on from last year. After that, but we are making headway, so I'm feeling good about that. There are some policies before you this evening, some for a second and final reading, and then some for a first reading as well, and that will be the pattern that we follow for quite a while. So our next meeting is Tuesday, April 9th at 5 o'clock p.m. in the district meeting room. The next committee report that we have is the Communications Committee. I have that report as well. We met on Tuesday, February 26th. We went over our mission, goals, and objectives of the committee. We reviewed the work being done with regard to updating our website and increasing the amount of information being put on social media. We discussed publishing a district newsletter, and work is being done on that right now. We're also going to take a look at an application that will help us to synchronize our web presence and keep us up to date in a more unified way. Mr. Coburn actually is the one who brought that to our attention, so we're going to take a look at that. And then our next meeting is Tuesday, March 26th at 5 o'clock p.m. The next committee that we have that met over the last month is our facility. Actually, this one did not meet. Was the Facilities and Grounds Committee. Mr. Garrett did send the committee members an update, though, on what we purchased at the Miami Trace auction. There were some much-needed cafeteria tables that were purchased, student desks, science lab tables, and some other miscellaneous items that were purchased as well. Very pleased with the results of that. And our next meeting for the Facilities and Grounds Committee is April 2nd at 5 o'clock p.m. in the district meeting room.
Mr. Eisner, would you mind sharing with them just about how much we spent on those items and then how much the value of it was? Because it was significant.
We spent, and so the items that were purchased were all items that were relatively, they were relatively new, probably, I would guess, 2, maybe 3 years old, somewhere in that ballpark, all in very good condition. We spent, as a district, we spent $3,900, and based upon the work that Mr. Garrett has done to compare what we would have paid if we would have purchased those items new, we would have spent, I believe the number is $85,000. So really got a lot of nice stuff, and if you're curious to see some of it, you can go up to the intermediate school cafeteria and see the new cafeteria tables. The ones that were in there before were really, really old and in bad shape. And those young students who come here to eat breakfast and eat lunch every day during their school day, they're sitting at very nice looking tables right now. So very pleased with that. All of the stuff that we purchased was very good. But yeah, we came out really well by going to that auction. So very pleased. The next group that needs to be reported on is our academic advisory report. That group met, this is also known as the DLT. This group met on Monday, March 11th at 3:15 here in the district meeting room. We heard a report on the hard work that is being done to make sure our seniors graduate. We have out of a class of 89, we did have quite a few earlier in the year who were in jeopardy. At one point, that number probably surpassed 30. But we are, through the hard work that we have done, getting students to take, retake end of course exams and get the points that they need towards those graduation requirements. At the moment, we are down probably 6 are in jeopardy. I think out of those 6, I think we feel pretty good about 2. But the other 4 we're really concerned about. So some of them will be kind of drug across the finish line, metaphorically. And so what we will do everything we can to get them through. Hats off to our high school staff, both our teachers and our administration, on putting things in place to get those students through. That's what it's all about. So they've been doing a nice job with that. So. These are problems that do not create themselves in 9 weeks or 10 weeks, or excuse me, over the course of a year. They are things that are years in the making. And so our high school admin team and our teachers have done a heck of a job, so very, very pleased. We also heard reports on the efforts that are being made through our teacher-based teams. We heard about how the short cycle assessments are going. We also heard about how student data is being used to improve instruction. We learned about the progress that the teacher-based teams are making in closing the curriculum gaps that we have. And we learned how the teams are doing with the idea of backwards learning design, or beginning with the end in mind. So that was the report from the academic advisory team or group. And the next meeting for that group is April 8th at 3:15 p.m. right here in the district meeting room.
Thank you. Now move to Section H, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have more items on here than usual, so I'll try to get through them fairly quickly. There is a reason I have so many. The first one is financial statements. Hopefully you had a chance to review those. Just will point out quickly that we are in a much better place than we were this time last month. I'll try and zoom in a little bit there. You can see it a little better. We currently ended the month of February with $3,232,292. Okay. Now, we do anticipate repaying $1 million tax anticipation note, so that amount will drop. But that is figured in for February as well. So you see here where we were in January, down here at the bottom, we're real close to the red line, on the red line. Now we're up here in February. So much better position. We made it through the rough point of the year, and tax collections came in, and we're doing much better as a result. We anticipate ending the year possibly with more than what we began, than what we ended the year with last year. So what more than what we began the year with, we have a potential for that. Depends on how tax collections come in and how our expenditures pan out the rest of the year. But we should end with, I believe, right now we're estimating over $2 million at the end of the year. So around $2.5 million. So things are going better with that. And then in April, we expect to receive our first installment of our income tax. So that's up here in the revenue. And here in April, we've got $100,000 there as our expected amount to receive in April. And then in July, we should receive approximately $300,000. And then in October, another $300,000. And then in January, another $300,000. So if you think about that, we had to borrow $1 million this year from the tax anticipation note. Next year, we should have $1 million in income tax received by that time. So that should help us to avoid that issue again next year. Any questions on the financial reports before I move on? Next thing I'd like to point out is our state audit report was completed and finalized, the results of which were presented to the board in an executive session at the last board meeting. And then we also went over this in our finance committee meeting as well. This is the first time that we're able to present it to the public. And moving to the end of the audit here, where the results are, I can go down through and let you know exactly how we ended up. It was an unmodified financial statement opinion, which is what you want to see. There were no material weaknesses in internal control. There were no significant deficiencies in internal control. There were no reported material noncompliance with the financial statements. There was no material weaknesses with internal control with regard to major federal programs. There were no significant deficiencies with regard to the major federal programs. The type of major programs compliance, it was an unmodified opinion, again, with regard to the federal testing. And there were no reportable findings. The major programs that were tested were our special education cluster, which is our IDEA Title I funding that we received. And then we are a low-risk auditee. So a lot of no's up there, a lot of unmodified. Basically, what that amounts to is a perfectly clean audit. And with that, that brings me to the next item, which is for the first time since I've been treasurer, we've received an Auditor of State award. This award is given out by the state of Ohio, and I'll just read what the award says. It says, this award is presented for excellence in financial reporting in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles and compliance with applicable laws for the fiscal year ended 2018. The citizens you represent are well served by your effective and accountable financial practices. Auditor of State, key favor. So that's the first time we've gotten that.
Nice.
Obviously, I don't take all the credit for that. It's our staff. These are some of the great people that helped achieve that award. In the picture here, these are mostly our central office staff members. We've got Jelaine Walker, who is our front desk secretary and administrative assistant, deals with enrollment. Debbie Midson is our new accounts payable person. Vicki Blosser is human resources. Teresa Brandt with payroll. Myself, Patty Beery is the special education secretary, and as you remember, our federal programs were tested, so she was highly involved in the audit as well. And then Sarah Kurt, our EMIS coordinator. So many others as well, our great department heads and coordinators, our building principals, and our staff and teachers and coaches. Everybody did a great job to achieve this for the district, and really proud of it, so thank you. Any questions on the audit or the Auditor of State Award? Hopefully we get another one next year.
Great job.
I would also like to point out this is the first time in 10 years that we were audited by the state as opposed to an independent firm. The state farms out audits, and every 10 years they have to bring you back in. And typically that's a more, I don't want to say intrusive, but a more in-depth audit. They dig a little deeper, costs a little more. For the district to pay for that, but it is mandatory. We had to do it, and so I was actually a little worried they were going to, you know, I was prepared that they were going to find something, and so for it to come out even better than what I was prepared for, you know, it was a nice surprise. So, yeah. We talked about the tax anticipation note payoff. The tax anticipation note, again, we expected around $5,000 in interest based on when the tax property tax receipts came in. We had to hold on to it a little longer, so we ended up paying $6,720 in interest. So that's why you will see the amended appropriations, because we only have $1 million in principal and $5,000 in interest in the debt service fund appropriated. Of course, we need $1 million in principal and $6,720 in interest. So that's why you'll see the change in the amended appropriations coming up. But it was well worth it. I hated to do it, but it actually, you know, it served the district well. And we have solutions in place moving forward that we shouldn't have to use that again. But Huntington was great to work with. That's the bank that represents the district, or that we do business with. And so they were very helpful throughout the whole process. Any questions on the tax anticipation note payoff? Okay. The next item actually is a recommendation that comes from the superintendent, typically in the superintendent's report or a new business. It has to be in my report up here because what follows this is the transfer item. And if the board approves the recommendation of the superintendent, then we can go forward with the transfers. I couldn't have the transfers take place and then ask the board to approve something yeah. that we just did. So with that, I've got the farm rent distribution discussion, and I'll just let Mr. Eisler briefly address that.
And quite simply and very shortly, or quickly rather, what we are recommending is that the farm rent be transferred to the athletic department budget this year. This is something that we have done before. The athletic department oftentimes at this point in time is running a little bit in the red, and it is this year. And so this is, again, something that we've done before, but we are requesting and recommending that we transfer the farm rent to the athletic budget.
Discussion.
Okay. The next item that follows that then is the transfers. You'll see here the first one is the farm rent distribution, which is from the general fund where that currently sits to the athletic fund. It's $18,250 going towards the junior high and 1,750 to the high school. And that seems out of proportion, but what it is the junior high doesn't earn near the revenue that the high school does, but we track those expenses and revenue separately. So junior high always looks like it's running in the red, but the athletic fund is taken as a whole. So we're just transferring them both. It'll bring both those separate cost centers up to in the black is what that will do. Typically what we would do at the end of the year is transfer from the 395.10 to the 395.02 to bring that back up into the black. So we're just doing that right from the general fund farm rent. That's all we're doing there. And then the other one, of course, is the repayment of the tax anticipation note. We receded those funds into the general fund initially, and then we will transfer this amount, if and when the board approves it, to the debt service fund. So you see the amount going into and out of the debt service fund as the auditors like to see it. So that's why you see that. So the grand total from the general fund to all other funds is $1,026,720. That's the transfers. Any questions on the transfers? Okay, the transfers then drive the amended appropriations for what we talked about earlier. There were a couple other changes. It's a $1,720 increase to the debt service fund due to the higher interest payment on the tax anticipation note. It's a $1,720 increase to the general fund due to the higher interest payment on the tax anticipation note because we're increasing the amount we're transferring from the general fund to the debt service fund. So those things all even out. And then the $20,000 for the farm rent. And then there were some minor modifications to the student activity budgets that increased their budget $601.86. And they're all in charge of their own budgets. So when their revenue increases and they spend more as a result, we modify the appropriations accordingly. So that's why you see the amended appropriations before you there. Okay, so any questions on that? All right. With that, that does lead us then to the financial items consent.
Number eight.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation the Treasurer of the Board approve financial items H9 through H13.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
So now I'll move to Section I, Superintendent's Report.
Mr. President, to start the Superintendent's Report off this evening, I would like to welcome to the podium Mr. Brad Miller, who will be giving us a presentation on NAFCAM.
Hello. I'm going to have a PowerPoint presentation of pictures that I'll kind of talk as we go through the pictures. We had a math camp here last month that we were able to get third, fourth, fifth, and sixth graders involved. The theme of the camp was fractions, decimals, and percents, oh my, as you can see. And the reason that we chose fractions, decimals, and percents, it's a need that the students need to build on and become stronger in those areas. Last year, our focus on our camp, which was our first camp we had, the focus was geometry. Just to give you an idea of what we had here, we had 115 students participate. It was a free camp offered to the students. We did it on a Friday evening. We had 27 staff members volunteer their time to help out with this. It was very, very impressive, and the kids had a great time with all the activities that we had planned. We gave them the kids a snack, they were able to eat dinner, and we had help from community members of Andre McCracken and Nicole Ebert helped serve the kids, so they were there to help us out as well. We had, in order to make all this happen, our PTO made a generous donation to help with the food and with some of the activities that you're going to see that were provided. Our curriculum department, we received a grant that we were able to also buy and purchase more items. As you can see, we had a lot of different floor activities going on, and at tables we had other activities that were hands-on as well. We had a band. We had a 3-4 band of kids, third and fourth grade, and then we had fifth and sixth grade. So it was kind of differentiated to fit the needs of the kids. And the third and fourth graders, there were four stations. Each station had an activity for the kids to do on the mat, and they also had an activity at the table they had to do as well. And the fifth and sixth was the same way. And again, this was all free, provided to the kids. If they wanted to do it, they were more than welcome. We had 115 kids do it. This would not all have been possible without our academic coaches. I have to thank Melanie Moss-Lenz, Allison Cummins, and Christina Finney, who was in the crowd as well. It was with the help of them making this possible and helping with all the activities, it went off without a hitch. So kudos to them, and thanking all the staff. Students had a ball, so I just wanted you to show the pictures and show you what kind of fun things we had on that Friday evening. It was a fantastic time. It was from 3 to 6:30, and kids enjoyed it. So.
Nice.
And that's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, the next thing on the agenda is a discussion about our athletic director's position. We had said last month that we would come back this month and have a conversation about it. Over the course of the last month, I have been doing some research and have been sharing that with the board as we go along, or as we have gone along. But just to kind of hit some of the high notes, and then we can talk a little bit. I contacted all three of our county schools to see how they structured their athletic director's position. I contacted two schools outside of the county and then seven schools in our league. All but two had a full-time athletic director, and one of those districts is about half of our size. Some of the athletic directors do have extra duties, such as scheduling facility requests and rentals, items that are kind of related, though, to what the athletic directors do. One athletic director does do attendance for grades 7 through 12, and one oversaw maintenance. So there is some variety in terms of what these positions look like. Only one district, and that district has about 900 students, which is not quite half our size, or a little bit more than half of our size, does have an athletic director that acts as a dean of students. But one superintendent, as I spoke to superintendents about this, or various representatives from the other districts, but one superintendent did state to me that they are concerned that would be a great way to burn out ADs because of the great volume of work that there is involved with being an assistant principal or a dean of students and also an athletic director. He thought that he'd probably burn through people about every 2 years. And so I am not a big fan of that kind of setup myself, so I don't think a principal's license is something that we would need in somebody at this time. I also asked, based upon some feedback that I did get from the board, asked the administrators what they thought they might need some assistance with as well. We came up with things such as help with the website, help with communication such as newsletters and social media, assistance with the business side of the house, perhaps contracts, facility scheduling, and perhaps assistance with attendance. One of the things that we have talked about as being a potential possibility is that perhaps the athletic director could go out and kids who are truant, perhaps the athletic director could pay a visit to their homes, such as we have our current truant officer do, and then that may be able to be a service then that we may not need, perhaps moving forward in an opportunity to maybe save a little bit of money. I don't think it's big money by any stretch, but an opportunity to save a little bit of money as well. And so one of the things that we have done over the last year, because I think it's important to think about what the gets could be as well, going through the budget reduction process, we cut an $18,000 budget item out of the budget in terms of communication and things like that, and help with the website. I think this would be perhaps an opportunity for us to maybe get a little bit of help there and get some of that back. I don't think it will be able to recoup everything, so to speak, but would allow us to maybe move forward without maybe certainly without having to spend that kind of money. And then if we were to go with somebody who was, we had a veteran athletic director, if we hired somebody new, we could save a little bit of money that way as well. I do think that there is quite a bit of work to be done in the athletic director's role. I think a fairly quick perusal of our athletic department and our teams and some things and hearing some of the conversations that I've heard throughout my listening sessions, there is a need here. And it's an important part of our district. It is one of the things that I think people talk about in terms of, you know, when we lose students to open enrollment. I think our athletic program is one of the ways that we lose students. And so I think having a quality athletic director heading up that department, I think is certainly important. In conversations with the board, I know one board member said that they feel like this person is one of the four faces of the district, one of the main four faces of the district, and I agree with that. And so I think getting somebody who is good is really, really important. I am supportive of the idea of giving some extra duties to this person. I do think we need to be careful, though, in not overloading them and overwhelming them, because the first priority for me, at least, would be to make sure that they're doing an excellent job leading the athletic department. And if too much else is put on their plate, I worry that they might get pulled in too many directions, and that work may not be quality as well. That was kind of a summary of my findings, and I would welcome feedback.
Kind of what I envisioned was to get some information from the superintendent tonight and for us to kind of discuss what we as a board would like to see, you know, kind of those parameters for the position. So I think that was helpful information to start. I don't know if this is accurate, but I was told that we did do the attendance with maybe two or three, I don't know how many ago, athletic directors. I don't know how that went, but maybe we could get some feedback there. But I guess the amount of savings would be important to know there, too. I guess we just wanted to open up what are you guys' preferences, how we want to go about this.
I mean, I'll go. You know, that's what I hear from parents when I talk to them, is that, you know, I feel like they really struggle, and I think that you're right. We've got to put, like, focus on the future of athletics. Because that's why kids leave when they get to 9 to 12, even junior high now. Some of that's prompted by parents, some's prompted by the children, right? And our facilities are less than some others around us, so we're already at a disadvantage. So the programs and the future of those programs, I really think is critical, and I think it's a lot of work. So when you say attendance, I mean, you're right, I would be afraid to enroll them too. For here, there's a lot of work to do, a lot of groundwork just for the programs, and again, like the future of the students. I really think that, I mean, if we had the statistics we talked about, right, over the summer, how many of the kids participated in extracurricular activities, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to get those numbers back to talk about some of those pay-to-play stats. And I think that that's going to be telling also, but I really think that it's fun for kids, right? And that's an outlet, and that keeps them engaged in the school. And what else does that do? That gets the parents here that wouldn't normally come. And to get them here, some might not come otherwise, right? We all know that's unfortunately true. So for me, I wholeheartedly support that, athletic director. You know, I think we have to have somebody with experience. I think that it's not something that we can take lightly as we go forward in the future and the direction of the school and what we're going to do in our master planning, which we're beginning, right? I think that those are critical points that we'll need to be really on point with.
You know, I think you hit a couple things there. Part of it, I think, depends on what we're going to be expecting of this next person.
Right.
You know, like, do we want to add sports, additional sports we don't have that usually, we have all the revenue-generating ones that are out there, so
sure.
It's a commitment. But it's a commitment that has benefits as far as enrollment. I think that's the key thing that we need to keep in mind, is parents have choices and they have the ability to open and roll their students out. So while obviously always academics will be our focus,
you know, it's, you know, athletics is important. You know, so how we view that and the commitment that we make to it's important as well. So,
I guess, from my point of view, we're looking at hiring a new individual for the athletic director. And I truly believe that we need to give that individual an opportunity to get acclimated to our culture here. To add duties in their first year, I don't necessarily agree with. I think down the road, that would be a distinct possibility. That's not to say that duties couldn't be assigned by the superintendent or the building principals if they had a need for something. But to assign duties, dean the students or require them to have a teaching certificate, which I believe they should have a teaching certificate if they're working for students, regardless of what their position is. But we need to give them an opportunity to work into the position. So that's why I'm at on it.
Make that their focus, right?
Yeah.
Right. Their focus.
Yep. At least from at the beginning, right?
Yeah. And maybe that's a fresh eyes that says, hey, here are the areas that we have time, you know, available. Here's what we do and we don't have, right? And I don't think we know that today.
When we had the budget reduction process, the topic came up with the athletic director and the scope of it. But of course now there's an opening. It's an opportunity. I think that's why we're having this discussion right now. I think if we're doing our job right, we're always looking for opportunities to be good stewards of the taxpayers' money, right? So that's why I personally was interested in the schools that were our size that have similar enrollments to us. What are they doing? And how can they get by with having a dual-hatted athletic director and we don't, you know? But that's what this discussion's about, to figure out, you know, what's the right fit for Madison Plains. I know that was the key question that Corey had, is, okay, it's good that those schools do what they do, but what does Madison Plains need? And that's what we're doing right now.
It's best for our school and our students and our community, right?
Correct.
Because it's a very much community-involved saying that we have
in
athletics.
I wholeheartedly agree with what Mark just said, and I've either met or spoken with Mr. Eisler twice, and I think in the past 2 weeks in regarding this topic. And let me preface my comments by stating that I know that we all received a letter from a parent and also a staff member. I hope everyone took the time to read that letter and had several valid points that were made. When I made a comment at the last board meeting in regards to being creative, I challenged Mr. Eisler to evaluate the position that was vacant and to see what was best for us as a district. And as I stated to Mr. Eisler, no offense, but I don't care what Westfall does, London does, West Jeff, we're Madison Plains. What do we need at Madison Plains to best suit our administrative team and also our students? I've been a proponent for the athletics since day one of getting on this board and beforehand, because I've said that obviously we, in my opinion, underfund them, and we have areas of improvement that are there. But at the same time, whenever we have a vacant position that comes up, especially an administrative position where we're paying $70,000, essentially, to, we have to evaluate it. We have to look at it from a business perspective of, what does this position entail, and what can we do to tweak it to benefit us as a district? We've had some very candid conversation, over the past 2 weeks about, my thoughts for it, and Chad was right in regards to this position is essentially the fourth face of the district. First, you have the superintendent, then you have the high school principal, you have the intermediate principal, and essentially the fourth person is that athletic director. And so what roles can we, delegate from the superintendent, who has a lot on his plate, and from our building principals, who have just as much on their plate, to be able to take that and shift that to this individual to help in those capacities?
you know, I don't want to focus on the individual per se that's in the position. I want to look at the overall position. I think that we're making positive strides. You know, I feel that you know, we can come to some type of agreement to add some stuff to that role to make it beneficial for everyone. And at the end of the day, to make sure that we're taking care of the number one priority. I know as Billy Martin, the mayor of Mount Sterling, always calls it the faceless book. You know, I've been labeled as a bully in regards to the Madison Messenger's article that they wrote, and that's fine. You know, I've got broad shoulders, I can take it. But any position, not just this position, and not just the individual that was hired for the interim position comes up, I will always challenge anyone to look at what improvement can we make. That's our job. Our job is to do our due diligence and to evaluate that. And so I think that we've made positive strides to that. And quite frankly, I'm excited to see the outcome of that. So I don't know if you want to share in depth with any of our conversation or not, but you know, we're getting there, so that's good. I appreciate that.
And Mr. Coburn and I did meet, and he does have an idea that I think is really good. And I like the idea of it. Mr. Coburn had talked about the idea of having somebody kind of assist us with development, and kind of development in terms of relationships with businesses and maybe other entities in the community. And that is important for us from an athletic standpoint. It's also important for us from a business standpoint. And I think because of the unique nature of the athletic director's role, I think it really it is a fantastic idea, because that person is uniquely positioned to be able to work on those relationships. Because those things are important to us in many ways. And so I think that's something as we move forward. And I don't know if you would like to say anything else about it or not, but I think that is certainly something that I think that we can look at, and I think it will be an important part of how we move forward in a unique way for Madison Plains.
Yeah, I would just end with, I think that, and I would state publicly that Ms. Tice is probably one of the best hires that the district has made in a long time for that high school. She did, you know, is well respected amongst staff, students, parents. I've yet to talk to a single person who doesn't like her. And I think that it does a lot for the district. But in order to have someone continuing in that success, you have to have people to be on that team and support her. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what I want. And I want to provide that support in that capacity. And I think at the end of the day, you know, it'll be success for everyone across the board. So.
Yeah. I mean, from my perspective, I do agree with Bob. I think the individual that we do hire in this position is going to have a lot on their hands. So I think we have to give him or her the opportunity to streamline the department and put new programs in place. In addition to what Kelly said, not only is it important for us to recruit some of our students back, because we do have a lot of students that are in our district but play for other schools. But another critical part with sports is the development of children. So in addition to recruitment, you know, kids should be playing sports. It's very critical for their development moving forward, because they learn so many things when they play sports. I remember, was it 4 or 5 years ago when the DLT team started? It's been that long. I was the parent representative on the DLT team, and in the first meeting, we talked about education being number one. Our goal was to make Madison Rural what it used to be when it comes to academics. I think we have done a great job there. We are moving in the right direction. If you see the dedication behind our administration, our teachers, our coaches, I mean, it's phenomenal. But the other thing that we talked about in that DLT, that first meeting, was that we would look at other departments, right? The next one that came up was athletics. We never got to that point. You know, so it is an area in which we have to look at. There's a lot of work, I think, that needs to be done there. And I think we have to establish it to make Madison Plains better. And I think this is the time. We have a time right now where we can define what that position is and get Madison Plains moving in the right direction with sports, along with our academics.
So basically what I was hoping to give to the superintendent is what our consensus is. And I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I like the idea of broadly when we look to fill the full-time position, kind of the athletic director focus, and have an eye if the person has something that can they can
sure.
add to it, you know, website capabilities or whatever it might be that saves the district money is basically what we're looking for, but doesn't detract from their ability to do an athletic director. My vision is an athletic director first, and then if they have other skills. Now, I would prefer to see those skills, if they have them, to actually, once we've narrowed who we want, to actually have that be part of their job description. That's my personal feel, just an accountability element, not just, yeah, they might do the website or whatever that other is. I prefer to have some accountability for it. I don't know.
So those goals would be yearly goals?
Right.
Yeah.
Initially, Mark, I would tend to disagree with that, mainly because I think they need an opportunity to
get their feet.
Work their way
yeah.
into the job. But down the road, I would not have any opposition to that.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
they do need
a
job description.
Are you comfortable with at least when we're putting it together as far as who we're hiring, at least having an eye towards that?
Yeah.
That,
oh,
know,
yes.
No, that's fine.
Well, that's always added value, right?
And again, as I said, we leave that to the superintendent and the building principals
when they're ready.
To,
right.
you know, add additional
right.
duties to them for that
yeah.
period of time.
Yeah.
My bad, so from my perspective. So as far as the athletic director being an athletic director first, and then also in saving the district money, I think one thing I'd just like to highlight and point out is something like that's on our agenda tonight. You know, an athletic director is going to be in charge of his department or her department and keeping that department in the black, whether that's through creative fundraising, building relationships with businesses and donors, or more efficiencies in the department, increasing attendance. And what that does is it keeps the athletic department from being a drain on the general fund, which is more my responsibility and the board's responsibility. So to me, that's where an athletic director can save the district
yeah.
money
yeah.
by being an athletic director first. And it kind of just came to my mind tonight, honestly, sitting here as we're discussing the distribution of the farm rent and trying to supplement the athletic department, the athletic fund with that amount. That money was sitting in the general fund. You know, it could be used elsewhere if there was a need. The need this year is with the athletic department. So that's where the board's made the decision for those funds to go, rightly so, I think. But I would just like to highlight that from my perspective, which is a financial perspective, a good athletic director is going to be self-sufficient with his department and with his fund, or her fund.
I agree with you. I think without having a lot of businesses in our school district, and I think the previous athletic director did a good job of fundraising, you know, because that's going to be a challenge. Whoever fills that role, interim, whoever, you know, that's a challenge to fundraise in our district. But so I think that's important, because the other part of it, like we discussed, is the funding in from our end. So I think committing to the position is a sign of commitment to trying to bolster it and help it in the future, but you know, we have to have the broader discussion on that.
And I've just seen so many districts when their sports are high and they're doing so great, you have donors and
mm-hmm.
sponsors everywhere.
Right.
So when we get to those levels, and some of our sports we have, right, but when you get there, I think that will, sometimes that makes it even easier
yep.
to have those discussions, because people get passionate about that. I mean, I've seen a lot of parents get passionate about that. That's why they take their kids somewhere else, right? Because it's not meeting their needs or their expectations. So I think that's a really good point, though, Todd. That's they're financially, they're fiscally responsible for that. That's a big chunk of the budget.
Worry about sports.
Yes.
Yes, last
word. With all due respect, though, to what Todd said, I don't know too many athletic departments that are self-supporting 100%. So I think
boosters do a lot.
Boosters do a lot, but at the same time, though. If you want to advance your programs, and you know, I don't know how many times we probably get comments made to us about they wish we did this, and this, and have a laundry list of things to do. But all that goes back to our additional commitment on top of the position. What is our financial investment into that program? So I think that yes, it's a first step of having the position there and someone to oversee that, supervise that. But in order for that person to ultimately be successful to our goals that we're going to establish, we have to seriously evaluate our financial contribution to that program. And, you know, and give them the tools and the resources to be successful.
So, not to take your last word. So just as part of that evaluation, I just like to make sure we consider as part of that that, you know, the general fund does pay for whether it's the athletic director's salary or the supplemental positions, the salary that goes in benefits that go along with those positions, the transportation to and from events, the wear and tear on the buses, the fuel, the driver wages. Those are all things that are charged to the athletic department's budget. So those are a financial commitment from the board, from the district, from the general fund to support athletics in the district. Now, if we wanted to truly show the cost of that coming out of athletics, we would charge all of those amounts to athletics and then transfer an adequate amount from the general fund to the athletic fund so that you could see the true in and out coming from the athletic fund for all of the services. Now, that's a little more, you're building a lot more funds, you're building more accounts, and there's a little more legwork involved. But just bear that in mind as we do those evaluations. There is a lot that the district does pay for out of the general fund for athletics.
I think it's important to point that out. We've gotten the research that I believe the numbers were Madison Plains doesn't spend, most schools do exactly what you just talked about. You know, so the amount that we put into it is lower than other schools.
But you just have to be careful with everybody has a different way of accounting for their expenses and revenues for how they pay for those departments.
Not only athletics, though, and I don't want anyone watching wonderful Facebook to say that we're only concerned about athletics.
Right.
Because that's not what, you know, yeah, we're talking about the athletic director position. Not just that investment into athletics, but we need to look at our investment in demand, all the extracurriculars, you know, to provide the adequate resources to make them successful. So,
yeah. Which brings us back to enrollment, right? You know, yeah. Give them a product that you want to send your kid to Madison Plains for.
Right.
I think it's what all this is tied to.
Mark, would you like to restate the consensus of the board?
Would you get?
You good?
I think the consensus is full-time position with an eye towards other things that hopefully save the district money. Maybe after a point of letting that person get established, at some point making it more formalized type responsibility.
How will you be posting that position?
Well, I was going to post it on the school district website and some of the administrative pages that we normally post positions on. I'm not sure what you mean.
My question being, are we setting that back up for a full search again?
Yes, I'll post the position. So. And I guess I feel like I committed to be posting the position, so I will. So.
Yeah, I just didn't know if we were.
Yeah.
All right, thank you guys. Now I'll move to Section J, Policy and Governance.
So, Mr. President, we have a couple of different items here for the board's approval. We have a second and in item number two, we have a second and final reading of policies. That set of policies were the policies that you saw last month. The only one there that has any changes to it is policy DECA. I sent those changes to you. They were highlighted in blue. But beyond that, what is there? Is just what we would normally have, or what we had last month, excuse me. And then item number three in Section J is a first reading of policies. Those are the ones that the policy committee reviewed this month. And so once, if the board approves these, we will send the policies that are listed for a second and final reading. We will send those to OSBA and get them into our book. And then we will keep working on the ones that are there for a first reading, and we will start on the next set as well.
Okay. Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items J2 through J3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now I'll move to Section K, personnel.
In the first item that we have a recommendation for. We have some supplemental contracts that are there that we would ask you for your consideration and approval of as well.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items.
Just one.
K2.
Second.
Yes, Bob seconded.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
And then one more recommendation or resolution, item number 3, is there for your vote tonight as well.
Do we have to read the whole thing?
Only the information in the motion.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following resolution, suspending pay and proceeding with the termination of employment for Mr. Cody Campbell.
Second.
Discussion. Just for the record, to point out, we've been in contact with our attorney and handled this each step of the way, following our guidelines. No chance.
Yes.
I think a lot of it's actually spelled out in here, process-wise, what's happening. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
We have some items before you then as well in Section L for business. There is a recommendation here to approve the early graduation of Nathan Holbrook. Nathan has been involved in some manager training classes for a local restaurant, and he has some other classes he's going to take as well, but he was involved in some managerial training. And then there are two overnight trips that we sent students on. One was a BPA trip, Business Professionals of America, and then our wrestlers went to the district wrestling meet.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items L2 through L4.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinnikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Let's move to Section M, donations.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donations as listed below.
Second.
Discussion.
I think we missed it earlier, but I do want to say we had a great turnout and fundraising for the Scholastic Auction, and that all the people that were involved that did a great job. I think there's so many names I know, and I know Darcy's here tonight, that really did a lot of work on it, and we appreciate that. That's a lot of work of our parents, and it was a nice event.
It was. Yeah, it was my first one, and I enjoyed it. I did not know what to expect, but it was really cool. Certainly had a nice time, and was happy to be able to support the district. And Mrs. Mast, if I could, would just like to confirm, the number that I heard in terms of profit for that day was $17,000, is that correct?
It was over $17,000. That was just at the auction. Now we have monetary donations that come in as well.
Okay.
So we have our meeting next Tuesday, so we will have like an actual figure of what we brought in. So I'll let you know.
So just from the day, for the record, because she unfortunately does not have a microphone, but for the day of the auction itself, in excess of $17,000, which is amazing and wonderful, and then there may have been a few more monetary items that come in outside of that. So a formal and final number will be given on down the road, and I too would echo your comments, Mrs. Cooley, and thank Mrs. Mast and the entire team of people that supported that. I know it was a team effort. I know our administration was involved in getting that up and running, and it was an impressive event. I believe we had 150 auction items that were live auction items, which is amazing to me in and of itself. And then there were silent auction items as well, and food, and It was cool.
And you have a lot of other extracurricular events that day, so the fact that it went that well with other events that took parents out, I thought that was just fabulous. So again, thank you. I didn't mean to hijack that.
And just a few, if I could highlight a few things here as well on the donations. Want to again say thank you to Matt and Kristen Furby, who have donated proceeds from their eggs that they are selling from their farm to assist in paying off student lunch charges. They had begun this process back around the holidays and have been selling eggs so that students who come from families in need, who have balances on their lunch accounts, they have paid those off through those sales, and it really is, it's an amazing thing. So just want to say thank you to them. And then on down at the bottom there as well, Mike's Trucking donated 24.57 tons of gravel to the driveway that goes in between baseball and softball field, and then there which is amazing in and of itself as well. And then there was a group crowdsourcing effort that was for Mrs. Regal's classroom and Mrs. Byer's classroom. Six Chromebooks were purchased through donations that were made from Donors Choose. And we have a group of individuals who are listed there. If you don't mind, I will read through the individuals' names. Erica Timmons, Monica Knight, Denny and Brenda Blanford, Beth Nelson, Bart Watts, Juanita Byers, Cindy Swartz, Linda Lorenz, Drew Lotzenheiser, Debbie Rye, Sue Wan, Kyle McSevney. There were anonymous donors, and then it says donation matches from Donors Choose for $159 as well. So there was a lot of money donated there, and we'd just like to thank all of those individuals as well.
Absolutely. I'm always for thanking people that donate to Madison Plains. It's very appreciated. Right. Can we get a second?
Yes,
Corey.
Right. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mrs. Amikas?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Think we have anything for Section N, new business? There's no executive session tonight. One thing I would ask, look at my calendar, the Tolls graduation, which many of you know, I'm a member of the Tolls board, our representative of the Tolls board. Their graduation is on the same night as our May meeting, the 21st of May. I was hoping to move it up to the 14th, which is basically the next Tuesday, or the Tuesday before. Do you guys have thoughts on that?
What's the date? May 14th.
Right, switching it from the 21st of May to the 14th of May.
We have a policy.
That's going to be a policy committee meeting.
Committee meeting.
We can move that, though.
Okay.
I have a meeting, but I'll try to move it.
That's fine.
It's a different night.
For sure.
Yeah.
Tell me, Kelly.
That's fine. I'll see if I can move my meeting.
All right. All right, so if we can, if that's all right with you guys, we'll formally make a switch, change it on the website, public notice, that kind of stuff, please. Thank you for working with me there. Next year, we'll hopefully get that in advance. When we set the board calendar, we'll try to make sure that doesn't happen again. All right, so our next regularly scheduled meeting will be April 16th at 7 p.m. here at the district meeting room. We have a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion that we adjourn at 8:18 p.m.
Nobody wants to go.
Yes.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Kroger?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Amikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.